Gospel's written in the 21st chapter of Matthew. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked, "and who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think?" There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a kid, there were times that I didn't always do all the right things. You know, I mean, it's really hard for me to admit that, but I got in trouble every once in a while. And every once in a while when I got in trouble, my mother would send me to my room and she would say, "Randy, I want you to go there and I want you to think about this for a while." Now, did anybody else have that? Did your mother ever send you to your room? Okay, and you think about things for a while? Or perhaps you have sent your own children to their room to think about things for a while. And usually what that means is you want to get them out of your hair so that you don't kill them. You know, it's not so much for them to think about things as it is for you to cool down before you do something that you'll regret later on in life. Well, there was this little boy one time who he did something he wasn't supposed to. He was misbehaving all the time, and his mother finally had it with her. And she said, "Go to your room, and I want you to think about this." And so he did. He went and he thought about it. And a little while later, he walked out, and he said, "Mom, I thought about it. And not only did I think about it, but I prayed about it as well." And she said, "Son, you don't know how proud you have made me to think that you would go and think about it. And not only that, but that you would pray to God about this, because you know that if you pray to God that you will not misbehave, he will give you the strength to help you so that maybe you don't do that as much." And he said, "Mom, I didn't pray to God that I wouldn't misbehave. I prayed to God that he'd give you the strength to put up with me." And you know, sometimes it's kind of like that in life, isn't it? You know, God kind of puts up with us every once in a while. And the father in this parable that we have before us does the same thing. He puts up with his sons. Because, you know, these guys are not the best sometimes. But then again, neither are we. So, when I was growing up, I used to have one of these toys, a kaleidoscope. You guys, anybody remember those things? Yeah? I love those things. You know, you put them up to your eye, you turn the little tubes, and you'd sit there and you'd stare at one shape and then you'd do the other. What always bothered me is I wanted to come back to the one that I had previously and I never could get there again. But anyway, it was fun to change the shape. And parables are kind of like a kaleidoscope. You look at them and then you kind of twist them a little bit. And it changes, and you see something that you never saw before. And then you turn it again, and you can see something within that story that maybe you didn't see the first time. And That's what we're going to do with this story before us today, this parable of the two sons. We're going to kind of take a look at it, and then we're going to shift a little bit and see what different things we can see in it. Now, most scholars, when they look at this parable, say that what it is about, it's pointing an accusing finger at the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And basically what they're saying is this, that these guys had been talking a really good fight. They'd been talking about all the things that you needed to do in order to be part of God's kingdom, what you needed to do in order for God to love you, what you needed to do in order for God to be a part of your life. But when it came down to actually doing it, they stunk. I mean, I can't put it in any other terms. They just didn't get it. But yet, the tax collectors, prostitutes, the people that were considered sinners, you know, the people that you didn't want to brush up against too close because their sin might jump off and contaminate you, those were the people that really understood about Jesus and his mission. What they really understood, it's not about all the things that you do in order to earn something, but what it's about relationship to God. And so Jesus is saying that these folks are going to get into the kingdom of heaven. They've understood what the kingdom of heaven is about better than the scribes and the Pharisees. So that's one little twist on this. The other one is that you take a look at these guys, and it's like a mirror. You look in the mirror, and you try to figure out which of the two guys you are. Are you the son who says, "Yes, I'm going to do it," and then basically runs away and doesn't do it? Or are you like the son who said, "Go away, Dad, I don't have time for this," and then realizes that he needed to go back and do it? So basically, the parable's asking us to look at ourselves and see which son we're most like. Or, let's just take this and turn it one more time. There could be another way of looking at this. And that's what I want to look at today. But we're going to take a look, or we're going to start, not with son number one. We're going to start with son number two. So, son number one, or number two, tells his dad what? "Sure, Dad, I'll go do it." And then what's he do? Nothing. Nothing. And it kind of gives you the impression that what he's really out to do is kind of hoodwink his dad. That he's just trying to get him off his back by saying, "Yeah, I'll do it," but he's really not going to. But is that really the case? How many of you in your life have ever told somebody, "I will do what you would like me to do and whatever it might happen to be," and then you do not follow through? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because if all hands do not go up, confession will start when we're done. We've all fallen into that trap, haven't we? We've said that we're going to do it. And you know what? When you say that you're going to do it, you really mean you're going to do it. You have all the good intention. You have all the things that you wanted. You really want to do this. But what? Life happens, doesn't it? Things get in the way. And so what we intended to do, we didn't do. And there's one Bible verse it's kind of like my favorite Bible verse, or one of my very favorite Bible verses, because I think when Paul wrote it, he was talking to me. I really do. And he says this, "I have the desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing." And I don't know about you, but you know, that kind of works on my life. I have a lot of good intentions sometimes, but I can't always follow through. And the things I don't want to do sometimes are the very things that I do. It drives me nuts. But it's real. Just like I know that I ought to forgive people. Just like you know you ought to forgive people. But aren't there some people in life that it's just really, It's just so hard. Or I know that I shouldn't judge people by how they look or dress or smell. And yet I know there are times I do that. I don't want to. I don't mean to. But I do. And I know there's times when I'm not supposed to want things that other people have. But I do. My intentions are great. But sometimes I just blow it. And then we've got the first son. First son says, "Dad, no way." And then later on he changes his mind. Now, this son, I'm going to name the son who opens his mouth and blurts something out before he engages his brain. Okay? That's what he is. He opens his mouth before and just speaks with his heart, speaks with his emotions without using his head. Now, boy, I don't know, this is confession day, I guess. All right. He's the kind of guy that is headstrong, rebellious, stubborn, bullheaded. I'd really like to call it determined, because that really was the kind of kid that I was when I was growing up. Not that I'm like that now, but, well, I'm really not. All right, I am. But, I mean, sometimes you just do stuff to irritate other people. For example, there was a time when my dad, I think I've told you this story, but it's a good story, so I'll tell you again. My dad was setting the height of a lawn. We had one of those real lawnmowers. Anybody remember those? Yeah. My dad did not believe in the rotary lawnmower, you know, the kind like we have now, everybody has. We had to have the real lawnmower. And he had to adjust the height just to the right height. And he'd take a blade of grass. He'd run it over the blade and make sure it cut just right. It was just the right height. It took an hour to get the crazy thing ready to mow. And I was, you know, I had better things to do than watch my dad mess around with a lawnmower. I mean, I really did. And so I can remember one day, he'd been fooling around, I don't know how long. And he said, "Randy, take the lawnmower." He finally got it adjusted to the right height. "Take the lawnmower, run down a strip, turn to the left, and come back." Took the lawnmower, ran down the strip, turned to the right, and came back. He said, "I told you to turn to the left. Why'd you turn to the right?" And I said, "Because the lawnmower goes just as well right as left." Yeah, not brilliant. Sometimes you say and do things without thinking. Kind of what the son did. And we don't know why he did it. Maybe his dad, maybe he felt that his dad had asked enough out of him. Maybe he thought his plate was already full. Maybe he thought the younger brother should get off his rear end and do something himself. I always felt that way at home a lot, you know? "Quit picking on me, Dad, I'm the oldest one. Go pick on the little guy over there." Didn't work that way. Well, whatever reason, he just storms off. But what's he do? He stops and he thinks about what he said and what he's done. And he realizes he made a mistake. And so he goes and he does what he ought to do. And maybe that's happened in your life too. Maybe you've said no to something. Maybe you've just blurted out something to somebody. And then later on, you think about it. And you apologize. Or you go and do the thing that you didn't want to do because you know that it needs to be done. Now, neither of these sons is by any way, shape, or stretch of the imagination perfect, are they? But then again,
neither are we. Some days, we're kind of like son number one. Other days, we're kind of like son number two. So maybe the parable isn't simply about pointing out who's good and who's bad. But the parable is about this. There's a little bit of each son in both of us. Now, did Dad love both sons? Sure he did. Sure he did. And just like Dad loved both sons, so God loves us. Even though one day we may be like son number one and another day we may be like son number two, because they kind of shift back and forth in our lives. It's not so much about beating ourselves up or wondering which we are, but looking at ourselves and saying, you know, which was I most like today? And what can I do tomorrow to change that? It's not about what we are, but about what we can be. Not about who we are, but who we can be. But in the midst of all that struggle, one thing always remains true. And the thing that remains true is this. No matter what kind of day you're having, God still loves you for who and what you are. Amen.
So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.